Hey, what's happening, everybody? Welcome back to the Lucky Rants. Welcome back to Anime Casuals. I am your host, Lucky, and I hope you guys enjoyed our little casual discussion yesterday with the Would You Rather questions. Remember, next Monday will be our discussion on... Oh, actually, we didn't tell you guys that at all. Anyway, our next casual discussion will be on the Seven Deadly Sins. So if you guys are interested in that, maybe catch up on it. We're just going to be basically taking a look at the whole series as a whole, as well as the movie that came out as well that Michael had told me about. But I'm going to be real with you, I never really saw it on Netflix. Not that I was looking for it. I was just really surprised when he told me about it. So I got to finish up Seven Deadly Sins and then watch this movie. So anyway, just wanted to let you guys know about that. And yeah, let's go straight into some of these questions on. Excuse me, the anime subreddit. Do you ever delay finishing an anime because you don't want it to end? I notice this happens a lot to me. Currently watching Horimiya, and I've been delaying the last couple episodes for like 5 days. I don't want to deal with that empty feeling when a show like that ends. This is what I've been talking about this for a long time on these podcasts, where, you know, I'll get to like the last episode of an anime and I'll just be like, it's not over yet. You know, there's endless possibilities of what can happen from here on out. You know, that's the whole, I don't know. Once it ends, a lot of times it puts an end on my imagination, right? Because you're thinking, oh, how could this possibly end? You know, when you watch the first episode of something, it's like the incarnation, it's like the start of this giant journey. But when you get to the end of the journey, it's just so depressing, right? You start to think, oh, there's just no more. I mean, what happens to these characters after this? You know, you keep thinking and thinking and thinking, right? I had the same thing happen with like Fruits Basket, where I really didn't want it to end, but you know, I had to see it. And you know, I don't know if that whole spinoff thing was true. I saw it in one of the subreddits, but yeah, it's, oh man, dude, I share that feeling though with this person, dude. I absolutely am always trying to like put back, you know, my last episode of something. It's just so difficult, you know, it's just so difficult to go through this journey with these characters, and then maybe it ends not the way that you think it should end. You know what I mean? Like, what happens if it ends when you don't see it? You know what I mean? Or what happens when it ends and it didn't happen exactly the way you see it, you know, or exactly the way you thought it should have ended, you know? There's a lot that can happen there. So at least for me, I'd rather stay blissfully ignorant a lot of times. Now, that being said, as an anime podcaster and YouTuber, I do also have to, I also have to, you know, do what I got to do. I got to go check it out. So, you know, I can't just watch near the end and then never see it. You know what I mean? So anyway, excuse me. Let's go over to the next post here. I think I answered a question similar to this, but just a reminder for everybody, is Fate Zero a prequel to Unlimited Blade Works or to Stay Night? I've been trying to watch the Fate series for a long time now and hear a lot of people say to skip Stay Night and go to Zero first. But since Zero is a prequel, it seems like that was intended to watch second. So is it a prequel to Stay Night 2006 or to Unlimited Blade Works? And is Stay Night 2006 separate from the rest of the series? So the problem with Fate Stay Night is that they did a terrible job of making it. All the characters are kind of butchered in that. Also, some questions aren't answered. Now, the problem is all the questions that are answered in Fate Stay Night are not answered in Unlimited Blade Works. They kind of expected you to have watched Fate Stay Night, and then it's like, oh yeah, well, Unlimited Blade Works is like this cool, polished reboot of it, but we don't answer any of the questions from Fate Stay Night. You know what I mean? So, you know, you don't know who Archer is in Fate Stay Night, but you know who he is in, you don't know his identity in Fate Stay Night. In Unlimited Blade Works, right? You do. But in excuse me, in and you know, the thing about Fate/stay night that I have to give it credit for is it does do a good follow-up to certain things from Fate Zero. But yeah, because some of the things in Fate Zero, if you notice, they don't travel over to Fate/stay night. One of them being a little bit of a spoiler here, but Sakura and Rin's relationship, right? They are sisters. This isn't really, you don't see that at all in Fate/stay Night Unlimited Blade Works. In Fate/stay Night, there's actually a huge emphasis on it. It's not a very good emphasis, but at least they acknowledged it. So yeah, I really hate to recommend Fate/stay Night, but I think you should watch it, because here's what I would say. Watch Fate Zero, watch Fate/stay Night, and then watch Fate/stay Unlimited Blade Works, because Fate Zero will give you, because if you watch Fate/stay Night first, the problem is you won't know about some of the characters in it, and what it means, like that little tidbit that I was just talking about, it wouldn't make any sense to you at that point. So watching Fate Zero would give you a clear understanding from then on out. But yes, Fate Zero is a prequel to both of them technically, but Fate/stay Night is technically a little bit more, it's a little bit more fluid into with some of the things. So yeah, it's definitely a pretty interesting part. It's an interesting question, right? Because yes, there is a lot of overlap between Unlimited Blade Works and Fate/stay Night. Problem is, Fate/stay Night just did not do it. So, by the way, if people don't understand exactly what I'm trying to say here, because maybe you've never heard of the Fate series or anything like that. So, Fate/stay Night was an anime that came out in 2006, if I'm not mistaken. Unlimited Blade Works. Sorry, I'm trying to pull up the data here. When did this one come out? Da, 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 da. No, that's not what I need. There we go. I think this one came out in 2010. Maybe it came out earlier. I think I asked this question before and it ended up coming. Oh, 2014, 2014. Yeah, so this one came out a little bit later and was much better. Was so much better. And then after Unlimited Blade Works, I think Fate Zero. I think Fate Zero came after Unlimited Blade Works, or maybe it didn't. Oh wow, it did not. Okay, interesting. Okay, so yeah, Fate Zero came. Okay, but either way, Unlimited Blade Works does a much better job with. That's definitely the best one out of Fate/stay Night and Fate Unlimited Blade Works. But Fate Zero is my favorite out of those three. Just because I like the servants a little bit better. But yeah, anyway, why don't we go over to the next post here? Why is intelligence considered a villainous trait? Almost every character who relies on wits to outsmart their enemies seems to be some level of villainous or psychopath. Light, Death Note, Lelouch, Code Geass, Yusuke, Million Lives, Kakegurui, Fate Zero, Durarara, Talentless, Nana. On the other hand, the more generically moral and good characters seem to be less intelligent. Otonashi, Angel Beat, Shiro, Fate/stay Night, Keiichi, Higurashi, Eris, Astra, Makoto, Danganronpa. How do you say that? Danganronpa? Danganronpa? How do you say that? Whatever. The only exception that I can think of where a smart character is portrayed as unambiguously moral is Promised Neverland and shows where the protagonist rarely uses their intelligence, such as romances. Why do you think it is that the more intelligent a character, especially a protagonist, the more villainous they turn out? This is a really good question. One of the things that I think happens when somebody is super intelligent, because I think one of the things that happens is with somebody that is like when you have like this really big muscular person, right? You know kind of what to look out for, right? It's like, oh, this guy is very physically imposing, all that kind of stuff. The thing about cerebral people is there's this element of surprise that always can kind of get you. What are they thinking? Are they a psychopath? You know, all this kind of stuff. I think that's what makes characters like the Joker so great, right? Is this idea that, listen, this guy is not physically imposing in terms of Bane. Sorry, I was just thinking of some of the Batman villains. In terms of like other villains, but in terms of what he's willing to do, and the fact that he has no moral compass, it seems like, is pretty tough. But when we talk about like intelligence, right? Because obviously that's more psychopathy or anything like that. But the Joker's not stupid. That's the problem. Is everybody doesn't take him seriously, and then all of a sudden he ends up outsmarting everybody. But you know, when we're talking about like intelligence, I think a good example of this would be Sasuke and Naruto, right? Naruto, typical dumb character that kind of bull rushes his way through things, always talks about friendship and whatnot. I think one of the reasons why it happens like that a lot of times is because the main character has to have some relatability to them. If they're constantly smart, they don't have to, sorry. It makes it a more relatable character, right? But when there is a, when there's somebody that's super intelligent, right? It can be hard to relate to them. And also, if a villain's this super intelligent person, it makes it even sweeter when the hero ends up taking him down, right? There's just it kind of just shows that you don't always have to rely solely on your intelligence to get you further. Now, at the same time, I can see why this is a question, right? I that was just my best attempt at an answer. To be honest with you, I'm not sure exactly why intelligence is treated as a villainous trait. I think a lot of times intelligence is seen as the counter to love in some ways, right? Oh, I need to feel with emotion instead of my brain, right? How often do you hear that in anime, right? I was just watching something, I won't say exactly which one it is, but where they were talking about like, oh yeah, I don't feel anything, any emotion behind your fists, therefore they don't hurt me. It's like, what does that mean? Like, a fist is a fist, and if you get hit by it with a good amount of power, you know what I mean, it's gonna hurt. Don't just try and BS me about some feelings behind the punch that just make it work, you know what I mean? So with intelligence, I think it might have to do with the fact that so many anime are seen as with the shonen perspective, in the sense that there's this person who is like a dumb young kid, right? Because they're supposed to relate to dumb young boys. But yeah, I mean, can you guys think of something where there's like just a straight up dumb villain? I can't think of anything either, because typically they're just crazy. And yeah, man, because the thing about intelligence, right, is that it's also easier to bend the story to your will, bend the story a little bit if the character is more intelligent. You know what I mean? It makes it seem like, oh yeah, no, this one, this anime antagonist was behind it all along because he saw through the future and saw, you know, he was just so intelligent. But yeah, I mean, like I said, that's more of a trope. It's not always like that. It's not exactly always like that, but I see where this person's coming from, right? Because when we're talking about intelligence, right, we're talking about the brain versus the heart. That's usually what it comes down to. I remember a long time ago I did a video about Naruto and Sasuke and the parallels between them and Cain and Abel. For people that don't know who Cain and Abel are, they were Adam and Eve's sons. Cain ended up killing Abel and ended up getting Hashirama and Madara, like how that was kind of the thing. How they were related, how they had a lot of parallels to Cain and Abel. Cain killed his younger brother, or was he his younger brother? Maybe his older brother. I can't remember exactly. And because he felt like God wasn't favoring any of his sacrifices. And one of the things that I noticed in that was the fact that Cain was more in the visual department, whereas Abel was able to feel things, right? So it reminds me of a lot of the same thing that we're talking about there. The Uchihas were able to see things, were able to analyze things. The Senjus were much more in tune with nature. Well, they were kind of in tune with nature. I don't know why Hashirama was the only one that could use Sage Mode. It seems really stupid. Like, how were the other Senjus able to take on the Uchihas, who all have Sharingans, and yet what? That's one thing I never understood, right? What did the Senjus have that the Uchihas were having so much problems with them? Because Hashirama, very special case. Tobirama, very special case. What did the rest of the Senjus have? Sorry, I went on a weird tangent here, but what the heck did the rest of the Senjus have? You know what I mean? Like, what did they do? Because we've seen that the Uchiha were pretty OP. I think that's the whole reason they had to be nerfed out of existence. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, we can have one of these guys. But can you imagine a whole group, a whole clan of people that could control the tailed beasts and that all had different Mangekyo powers? I mean, that would be ridiculous. And what the heck did the Senju do? Like, how were they able to take on the Uchiha? Now that I'm thinking about it, I never saw anybody else use Sage Mode. I never saw anybody else use any like Senjutsu. What the heck is going on here? Anyway, but the interesting counterpoint to that would be is the fact that the Uchiha are actually more emotional. That's what triggers the Sharingan and the Senju are much more technique based and all that stuff. So I don't know. I'm really trying to answer this question, but I think all I'm doing is running around in circles, kind of chasing my tail right now. But yeah, I think that's kind of the best I can really do on that question. I mean, what do you guys think? Because I'm really thinking now too. An interesting one that they were talking about was Yusuke from Million Lives. Yusuke is not a obviously he's talking about villainous traits, not just being a villain. But the thing about Yusuke from Standing on a Million Lives is he's letting his intelligence override some of the other things in him. Once you start thinking of people merely as numbers and equations, or just because the thing about Yusuke is he's very cynical of people. He doesn't like people. He's become an outcast, so he just doesn't care about human life as much as he does other things. So for him to be brought up in this, yes, he's intelligent, but at the same time, he also has other problems that lead him down that road. The thing about intelligence, right, is that if you get too intelligent, it doesn't always mean you have the right answers. It just means that you're able to word things well. It means you're able to analyze things, but it doesn't mean you always come to the right conclusion. But anyway, what do you guys think about that villainous trait thing? That's a really interesting question, and that's one I really need to ponder a little bit more. But as always, guys, don't forget you can check out All Things Casual at the link tree in the description box down below. Also, if you'd like to email us, you can email us at animecasuals with an S, real, R-E-A-L, at gmail.com. As always, guys, don't forget to keep it casual.